From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from the Word of God preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called The Spirit of Prayer. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been showing how the Holy Spirit helps believers in the place of prayer. As he developed this theme, he's explained that the first thing the Holy Spirit does in every true believer is to create a desire to pray. In addition, the Spirit imparts strength to pray, and He gives believers wisdom to pray. In the concluding portion of the message, we'll see that the Spirit seals God's promises to the believer, and that He assures God's people of victory in prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes with the message, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reports on what parents don't know about how their kids use Facebook.
I wasn't really that surprised when I read recently that some parents of teenage children don't know how their kids use the Internet. Common Sense Media, a non-profit organization that tracks children's use of media, commissioned a poll of teenagers and their parents this spring. It turns out that teens are way more active online than most parents realize. For example, 49% of parents said their child was 13 or older before starting to use the Internet unsupervised. Just 14% of teenagers said they were that old. 23% of parents said their children log on to social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace more than once a day. But 51% of teenagers said they check in more than once a day. Just 4% of parents think that their children check social networking sites more than 10 times a day. But in reality, 22% of teenagers said they're online that often or more. When it comes to sexting or posting explicit photos, 2% of parents believe their child had posted naked or near-naked photos or videos of themselves or others. But 13% of teens admitted they had done that. It's obvious from these figures that young people are using the Internet in a way that goes beyond their parents' expectations. The Internet has become a powerful instrument in recent years. With a few clicks of a mouse, any person, young or old, can access any kind of material from almost any part of the world. Some of it is good, wholesome, helpful, even usable for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom. But some of it is anything but good, and is full of sin and corruption. This is where the danger lies, and especially for young people. Just think of it for a moment. The Internet places sin within very easy reach. There are thousands of sites dedicated to pornography, gratuitous violence, promiscuous lifestyles, rock music, drugs, and anti-God propaganda. The images and messages on these sites are explicit, and many of them are targeted at a young generation. It's a full-blown attack upon decency and morality, and young people can easily become snared and trapped in a cycle of visiting these very sites. Because the Internet can be accessed through cell phones and laptops and Internet cafes, the temptation is even greater. A young person, or indeed an older person, can become secretive, hiding away, disguising their real intention, keeping two or three pages open at once and quickly moving from one to another to avoid detection, and all the while filling their heads and hearts with material that will leave its mark upon them. There's also the fact that the Internet leaves young people vulnerable. It's a well-documented fact that predators trawl Internet chat rooms looking for young people to prey on. By a careful grooming process, they gain the young person's confidence, so that they disclose private information, send pictures of themselves, some of which are explicit, and expose themselves to great danger. There have been cases of young people being abducted by persons that they have met through Internet chat rooms. with terrible consequences. Since there are so many dangers, why are parents so behind in knowing what is going on? There may be a number of reasons. Parents have been left behind with the technology of computers and internet use. Some simply don't understand it. Also, parents trust their young people and fail to remember that they are open to temptation and may well yield to that temptation given the circumstances. Again, some parents have such a poor relationship with their children that they take little interest in what they are doing. Furthermore, some are content to let their children do as they please, even if it involves surfing the worst of sites. There are various reasons, but parents ought not to be ignorant of these things. Some guidelines to keep in mind. Parents, remember our young people are capable of committing the worst of sin and will be tempted to do so. Remember Job, he rose early to pray, lest his children had sinned and cursed God in their hearts. He realized the potential within his own children for the very worst of sins. Our children are capable of great sin. Furthermore, as parents, we have a duty under God to guard our children and protect them. Moses' parents did all they could to guard their son. He was a gift from God and they treasured him. They had no desire to hand him to the evil desires of an evil Pharaoh. Let us not abandon our children to the world and its wickedness. Any use of the internet ought to be guarded and supervised if necessary. We must use every means to train our children up in the fear of God, bringing them under the influence of the gospel at every possible opportunity. Obviously, we ought to offer earnest prayer for our children that the Lord would save them and keep them for his glory. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Let's endeavor to do all we can to train them up in the way that they should go, and that when they're old, pray that they'll not depart from it.
Risen, now risen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Spirit gives us wisdom to pray, teaching us to use the Word of God and the will of God. He gives us words in prayer. Hosea 14, verse 2 says, take with you words. Now, you need words to pray. If you don't use, people, you know, have some crazy notions, and they say, well, you know, if I don't use the words, there are things here that are so deep that there are no words for them. Now, I realize that there are times when we cannot express in words the agony of our heart, and the Holy Spirit groans from within us with groanings that can't be uttered. But normally we need words to pray, because if we don't use words, we'll never know if we got an answer, will we? If you don't ask for anything, you don't know what answer you've got. So he says, take with you words. Now the Holy Ghost fills the desire, or the heart with desire, and then he fills the mouth with words. I would strongly advise you, therefore, to take the great prayers of Scripture and use them, not slavishly, but as a basis for your own praying. I've often taken the words of the prayer that is called the Lord's Prayer, and I have prayed through it syllable by syllable, letting every expression just grip the heart and the mind. If you don't know how to pray the Lord's Prayer, you don't know how to pray. I've taken right through the New Testament all the great prayers of Paul, and I've got down before God because these are the very words that the Holy Ghost has inspired. These are the petitions that I know are the will of God. And therefore, as I will pray through these things, He will give me words to pray. He gives us words. Not only that, but He seals the promises to us. How do you believe? One of the biggest questions people ask a preacher is, how do I get healed? Well, I want to tell you, you're not going to go down to J.C. Penney's or Rich's and put an order in and get a package called faith. You're not going to do it that way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But you're not even just going to read your Bible and suddenly find that faith jumps out of the page at you. This is something that is ministered to the heart by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 1:19-20. You believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the power that gives you faith, Paul says. He seals the promises. You know, when you pray as George Mueller said you ought to pray, you're using that Bible in prayer, you're meditating on God's Word for God's will in submission to that Word and will, and you're worshiping and confessing and asking as the Scriptures demand and teach, then the author of this book will seal the promises of Scripture to your heart. There's a little chorus, every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, something, every sentence, every line. Sounds good, doesn't it? Total nonsense, of course. Utter nonsense. Every promise in that book is not yours. Because there are some promises that promise you're going to die and others that promise you're going to live. They're both not yours today, at least. There are some promises peculiarly for women. It'd be very, very hard for me to claim those, wouldn't it? There are some promises peculiarly for men. And even in this day of women's lib, the women are not going to be able to claim them. So every promise is not for you today. But this is where we come back again, as I've done various times, to the spiritual use of the Word. The Holy Spirit will seal the promise to your heart. Now, I don't want us to get wrapped up in mysticism, but I do believe in the living, vital ministry of the Holy Ghost, who takes that promise and applies it by His grace to the heart and makes it yours. Sometimes other people can't even see how it is yours. I've often given the illustration of two missionaries back in Northern Ireland. They're gone to be with the Lord now, but they were old timers. They lived very close to the Lord. And to be quite honest, most Christians thought they were a little funny. Up this way, I mean, little funny, strange. And really it was because they lived on a different plane. One of them was to have her leg removed because of gangrene. Doctors had the surgery set. She was lying up in the hospital and she was being prepared for surgery, and her sister was back home praying for her. And she was praying through the 121st Psalm. Now, you and I could read through that Psalm 1,000 times and see no reference to anybody going to lose a leg by surgery for gangrene. So, she prayed, and she was praying for her sister, Emma. And as she prayed, she felt that God really smote her heart and gave her an assurance. And the verse that He used was, people roared with laughter when they heard it, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. She said, well, Lord, if you're not going to suffer her foot to be moved, she couldn't get her leg off, could she? Very simple-minded, but good logic. So up she ran to the hospital, into the ward. The doctors were just about ready for surgery. Her sister was already prepared, getting ready to go away for the anesthetic. She said, stop it! doctor said, "What on earth are you doing here?" She said, "Emma, don't let them touch that leg." "Why?" She says, "God has given me the promise. He'll not suffer your foot to be moved." Now the doctor thought she was crazy. He says, "This woman's going to die if she doesn't get this surgery." She said, "That woman's not going to die." Emma had more faith in her sister's prayer life than she had in the doctor's skill. And she told the doctor to go away. And he did go away. And Emma died of old age. She kept her two legs to the day she died. And God answered prayer. That's an unusual thing, I know. But God seals his promise to you in prayer by his Spirit. He provides encouragement for you in prayer. No Christian here would be telling the truth if he said he never got discouraged in prayer. Yes, you do. But the Holy Spirit encourages you by pointing you to Christ, by pointing you to the blood, by reminding you of the covenant, by instilling into you the promises of God. He reminds you of the biblical examples and the answers to prayer. He convicts you and chastens you when you won't pray. He drags you to your knees so that you have to pray. And when you have to pray, he then goes back to pointing you to Christ and reminding you of the power of the blood. He encourages you to pray. And when you do pray, thank God, he assures you of the victory. We need to be aware that in prayer, we're fighting a spiritual battle. Now, it's a mockery, I'll be honest, it's a mockery today to talk about the church on her knees, especially in this country. I don't want to be unusually critical. But American churches, in the vast majority of cases, have forgotten how to pray. There's not one preacher in 100 knows how to pray. You get a preacher stands up, sticks his hand in his pocket, and commands God for about 30 seconds and thinks that he has prayed. You'd think he was God, and God was some little thing up in the heavens ready to dance attendance upon him. We have had preachers come to this pulpit and say, as Ron Bean said, that he has been round church after church after church preaching the gospel, and never once have they ever had prayer at the minister's request. Never once has he had any example of a minister who had any prayer life for himself. Myron Guiler told us of a minister who wouldn't pray with him the second night. Because he prayed too long. He prayed for 15 minutes before a service. "You pray too long, and I'll not pray with you." This is tragic. So it is something of a mockery nowadays to talk about the great church on its knees. What prayer is for most churches and most preachers and most Christians nowadays is to make up their mind what they're going to do and come to God, get down on their knee, if they even do that, and ask God to rubber stamp it, bless it, amen, and away they go. My friend, that is tragic. Because we are fighting a battle. Ephesians 6 and 12, we're fighting against every power of hell. And as long as the devil can keep a church from praying, he'll keep it in defeat. But let God's people get on their knees. Let them learn to pray. And God the Holy Spirit will give them victory. If you want to pray, you can pray. Don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to be a particularly brilliantly educated Christian. You may be, you may not be, but God can use you in prayer. You can have a ministry in prayer. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and he will assure you of the victory in prayer. You should read Acts 4, 31 to 33. "When they prayed, the place wherein they were met was shaken, and they had great boldness, great power in their witness." What we need today is not just more prayer meetings. I'm happy when the church has a desire for more prayer. But it's not just more prayer meetings we need. What we need today is more of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer. And I trust that we will be found even this day crying, Lord, give to me, give to my family, give to this church, give to your people across Greenville and South Carolina and indeed coast to coast an enlarged experience of the ministry of the Spirit of grace and supplications. May God truly by His Spirit work prayer in us. And as He works prayer in us, thank God, He will work spiritual power in us, and we will yet see a breath or a moving of God in revival.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.